Good morning, thanks. I'm really excited to be here. I'm Gabe Weaver from Dartmouth College, and I work with my advisor, Sean Smith, and I'm really excited to talk to you today about some extended Unix tools to operate on a broader class of languages than traditional Unix text processing tools. So what's the kind of observation? Well, the observation is that throughout history, people have identified and categorized meaningful structures within text. And so this goes way back. If you look at a manuscript of the Iliad, for example, you can see here there's main lines, and then underneath those little lines, people are commenting. And people comment relative to structures like books and lines. And you see this today in IDEs. There's a lot of code up there, but people are commenting on it relative to the structure of the text, relative to things like function blocks. And so our tools interpret many of these structures, such as lines and code blocks, as languages in a language theoretic sense of language. And I'll talk about that in a bit. And our Zoo tools process and analyze text with respect to those languages. So kind of the analogy is that just as programmers use high-level languages to program more efficiently, so can administrators use high-level languages to process text more efficiently. And one of the things that we notice is that traditional Unix tools operate on regular languages, and those don't work so well with hierarchical object models. And there's a lot of hierarchical object models that we encounter on a day-to-day basis. So for example, things like C and XML and Cisco IOS, those have hierarchical object models, but for arbitrary hierarchies, regular languages don't cover it. Regular expressions don't recognize hierarchies like that. Certainly, there's a number of tools to be able to process these formats, but none that are general in the sense that Unix text processing tools are for regular languages. And so what the goal is to be able to extend Unix tools, extend the kinds of languages that traditional text processing tools operate on from regular languages to context-free. And so this is what we've been working on, ZooDiff, ZooGrep, and ZooWC, to be able to compare, extract, and count higher level structures. And so that might be it. And so today, I just want to talk to you about, I'm going to try to do about 5 minutes a tool. And I'll be doing grep, WC, and diff. I'll give you some use cases. I actually want to spend some time showing you what the tools do. I think that's probably the most important thing, because I really do want your feedback. I want these tools to be useful. And I'll also talk about the design. And then I'll conclude. So ZooGrep. So what are some use cases for extending grep from regular languages to more hierarchical object models? Well, one is network configuration management. If you deal with Cisco IOS, it's a hierarchical command language. There are things like the include directive, which allow you to extract things relative to lines. But it's a hierarchical language with a model, object model. So it would be nice to be able to extract things like interface blocks from a configuration file that have applied a certain access list, for example. When we presented a poster here at LISA last year, we got a number of comments on Slashdot. And one of the comments was it would be nice to be able to grep for a function name as a function name and not get back any usage in terms of comments or anything like that. So that's another use case for a ZooGrep. And finally, security analysts. Practitioners at the Red Hat Security Response Team, they wanted a way to grep the XML feed of the National Vulnerability Database so they could see what are the vulnerability scores that are relevant to Red Hat in particular. And there's many more use cases available at our site, zootools.net. So now I'm going to show you the ZooGrep demo. So let's see how this goes, right? Because I'm on the spot of it with a microphone. Okay, so ZooGrep. One of the use cases I mentioned before was, can people in the back see that all right, first of all? Okay, I'm going to try to...
Except you lost your first column.
Yeah, so this is going to be tricky. I apologize for that. So ZooGrep, if I want to be able to, if I have a source file, a C source file, I want to be able to extract all the functions shown right here, right, that occur within this file. And I will return matches one line apiece. So if I run ZooGrep on that, what I see here is I have a file path, example v1.c, a function, and then the region of text that corresponds to that function.
Scroll up a bit.
Yes, I can. Scroll up?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that clear? Okay, so the idea here is I have a, I may take the 25 minutes after all. I have I want to be able to grab structure, and I want to be able to report the file name and the function in which that structure occurs. Maybe I want to be able to get all lines that within a function that have the putN function call. And so I can see here that putN occurs within this file path. I'm going to scroll up a bit because I'm learning on the fly. I'm going to grab all the lines within each function so it reports the file path, the function name, and the line on which putN occurs. Okay, so that's zoogrep with the C source file. I can also do this with NVD XML. I can do this with Cisco IOS. So let's do an analogous query where I have the desire to, I have a router configuration file. We'll be able to extract interface blocks, right? This was another use case that we talked about. And so I say, within this source file, within this file, get me all occurrences of the interface pattern. And I do my zoogrep, move it up to the top, and I have a file path, the file in which it occurs, the interface in which it occurs, and the text region as well. And I can do analogous commands to see where access control lists are applied within a block, et cetera. So that's the zoogrep demo. That's where I want to spend most of my time on this tool. But just to give you a quick blurb on how it works, I have this query. It says iOS interface slash built-in line right up here. And this is a zoo path. It's a generalization of an XPath because the zoo tools are designed to work on hierarchical object models that aren't just in XML. So let's extend that. So I have our two files I give as input, and I have these as input files. I then apply each of these steps within that path. So first, from the files, I extract all the interfaces, and I get this step two set of strings. Then I apply the next, get me all the lines within those interfaces, and I get that. And so the leaves at the bottom of this tree are my results. They're what I report back. So that's how zoogrep works. Bless you. So now I want to talk a bit about zooWC. What are some real-world use cases for zooWC? Why would you want to extend WC to context-free languages? Here are some examples. In the network configuration literature, there's a lot of studies around 2009. They started really popping up. Let's do longitudinal studies of how networks evolve. Wouldn't it be nice to be able to see how network security primitives evolve, for example? So how my interfaces changed, how my access control lists changed over time. Because I'm able to process the structure and not just lines, which are highly volatile, I can actually get counts of how these things change over time if the blocks have identifiers, and often they do. Developers, sure, we've heard of this before, there's source code metrics, how many functions in a library, how many lines per function. I showed the example of Eclipse IDE earlier. But we want to be able to address this use case as well as more general languages as well. And security analysts, or also legal documents, you can imagine. How many paragraphs per section or subsection of a policy? So we can start to get a heat map for where the most stuff is within a document. So let's do the zoowc demo. Let me pull up my examples. Okay, so first, I just want to kind of show you, I want to count the number of functions in this file, function blocks. And what zoowc does is just like normal WC, it does what it said with bytes, characters, words, it reports the occurrences of functions relative to the entire file. So here you see there's five functions within this path. Similarly, you can do this with iOS. Right, I have two interfaces within this simple example. Or I can get something like count the number of lines per interface within the file. So how many lines are contained within interface blocks in the entire file? And so there's 16 lines within, right?
Your numbers were cut off.
Please let me know if something's unclear, because I'm assuming everything's good.
Can you just move your screen over to that?
Shrink the screen.
Okay. So is this just for ZWC, or did you see ZooGrep too? I can show you guys.
ZooGrep was fine.
Okay. So ZWC, let me just do this one more time. So two interfaces in the example file. Right, and let's do this. How many lines per interface? Well, there's 16 lines, right? And now what I really want to do is do something different than WC, which always reports counts relative to the whole file. I want to report counts relative to each interface. So how many lines are there per each interface? So I see there's 7 lines within loopback 0, 9 lines within gigabit ethernet 0. Total is consistent with what we saw before. And then I also want to do something kind of fun, just to show you can drill down in that hierarchical object model, is I want to say extract all the lines contained within interfaces, but report the word counts with respect to each line. So I can really drill right down. And that, I just think that's fun, honestly. So that's our ZWC demo. And how does it work? Well, we provide a ZooPath, which is a generalization of XPath for structured text more other than XML, but it can include XML as well. We have our input files, which we put into this set right here. We extract all the interfaces within each input file, and then we extract the lines as well. And when I say context, that just says, by default, it says report all the lines within the context of the file. But if I say context be interface, then it says report all the lines relative to this interface node right here. And so I can drill down within the model. And when I did lines, it was just a word, number of words within the container of the line. So that's how ZooWC works. Now I want to talk to you about ZooDiff. What are some real-world use cases for ZooDiff? A developer changes the implementation of a function, and it's really nitty-gritty details. So he or she may want an edit script that captures those line-level nitty-gritty details. Those are the kinds of changes we're used to seeing with a diff. But another developer maybe refactors the API and wants edit script that captures the changes at a higher level of abstraction. In that case, maybe we want to see changes in terms of the function blocks themselves. Network configuration management. A network administrator moves a network interface. Should the edit script be eight deletions of eight lines and then eight insertions of eight lines? Or should it be expresses one delete and one insert of an interface? Again, it should be up to the end user how they want to see. At what level of abstraction do they want to see the edits? And then natural language documents, especially for large legal documents or policies, you could imagine it's nice to get summaries at different levels of abstraction in terms of where the edits occurred. So this is the ZooDiff demo. I wanted to show you the input files for a bit, kind of as a, you know, keeping me honest kind of a thing. Router V1 and router V2, you'll see in the interface loopback 0, change the IP address. We changed the crypto map from Azalea to Daffodil, because I knew it was going to be sunny out here. And interface gigabit ethernet 4.2, we deleted the IP access group line and inserted IP flow ingress line. Okay, so that's what we're going to be working with for this ZooDiff demo. So let's see. So ZooDiff, I'm going to give it. Can you see this okay? I will. Thanks. It's okay. All right. So ZooDiff, we have a two input files, right? We have router V1 and router V2. Those are the two files I showed you before. And then I want to be able to parse those files so I get two trees, so the structure of the documents. And then I'm just going to compare the structure of the document. So bear with me, because this format is not quite what I had hoped. OK. So OK. What you see here is that we match the root of the parse tree to the root of the parse tree, but in total it costs 4. We see that an update that costs 1 corresponds to where the IP address got changed. We see where an update cost 1 was where the Azalea line got changed. This is hard to parse. I'm sorry, I didn't expect the I expect a different resolution. And we see here that IP access group, that line got deleted, so it cost one. And we see that an insertion of a line also cost one. So that's kind of one thing. But maybe that's kind of tough to read, right? So maybe it'd be nice to be able to see what the changes are with respect to the interfaces or configurations. So I don't want to see line level changes. I want to see changes at the level of the interface or configuration as a whole. And so now this is much simpler to read. What I see here is I have an update where I match, scroll up, thanks. What I see here is I have an update that costs in total four, where I match the root of iOS config to the root of iOS config. And among the two interfaces, I have two changes. So the loopback zero interface got paired up with the loopback zero interface, but it cost me two. And the gigabit Ethernet 4.2 interface also got paired up with the corresponding one, but that cost me two. So at each kind of interface level, I can see what the changes were, and then I can see the total within the root. Another thing that's kind of different from traditional diff is we can get things like change our edit distance, how we're assigning cost between two nodes. So here I'm saying it's going to cost me one if I insert, delete, or update whatever the value of that particular tree node is. But maybe I want to look at word edit distance cost here. And so here I can say, well, there are seven words that changed in iOS interface. There were two words total that changed within loopback zero. And there were nine words total that changed within the root. So this is kind of fun, but I argue it's also pretty useful because I could say, I think something's different. I want to see changes where it's like, you know, more than zero characters have changed, but maybe less than five. You know, just slightly different configurations. And so what I can do is I can take the output of Zug diff and I can set up a pipeline with awk to enforce those different thresholds. And I can start to see that, yes, there's a line here where, sorry. Thank you for your participation. there's a line here where I have changed the IP address, so two characters got flipped. So it's greater than zero, but less than five. So I can start to filter through individual changes with respect to the structure of the text and kind of filter it through. This is just an example of how ZooDiff works. So I know I have a very limited time, so I'll be quick. I gave it a Zoo path. I have two files. I parse the contents of each file using a parser for a subset of Cisco iOS. And I get two parse trees. And here you see that we match loopback zero with loopback zero. There were some updates in there. But the red is a deletion, and the blue is an insertion, and that's what you just saw. That's ZooDiff. So one kind of thing that might be fun to think about, second order services on top of ZooDiff is, this was in TechCrunch very recently, and whenever you say I agree to the terms of service, do you really? And wouldn't it be nice to see what you're actually agreeing to? Maybe you, right now you can see side by side how things change. This is the EFF's terms of service backup tracker, and you can actually get policies over time, and that's really nice, but you can't really get an overall trend. The reason you can't is pretty central to the whole Zoo stuff, because it's comparing in terms of lines, and lines are a language that is highly volatile across multiple versions of a text. If we use something more like sections or subsections, then just like multiple versions of Homer, you can do multiple versions of a policy as well, and now you have these blocks that are persistent, they have IDs, and you can start to plot how changes occurred over time. So where did the most changes occur within a Facebook policy? You can drill down within sections at these different levels of abstraction. And so it really allows you to pinpoint. That example, you see November of 2009, there's actually a Wikipedia entry about it because the changes were so severe, and Canada had something very particular, like the Office of the Commissioner or something, had launched an investigation. So yeah, you can actually get trends. So text formats with hierarchical object models break many assumptions of traditional Unix text processing tools. And that kind of motivated us because we wanted to then extend the class of languages upon which traditional tools operate so that it can handle file formats that you encounter more often. I just want to say thank you for your time. and for putting up with the formatting as well and your participation. I'm open to any questions or ideas. This code is kind of in between. It's a little better than research code, but it's not quite production code, though it's starting to be used in production scenarios as well. So I'm really looking for feedback. We have a mailing list. Please join. And I'm going to start to use that more once I'm finishing up my thesis. So after that, I'll be in. All right. So thank you.
Yes. If you have questions, please stand up and say name and affiliation and then ask your question. Go ahead.
I'm Paul Krizak with Qualcomm. Is your parsing mechanism that actually discovers context, is that a plug-in style system where you can, because right now you've got, you know, XML and iOS and stuff,
yes.
So how hard would it be to extend it to other formats?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, so the question is, how can we extend it? I'm following my CS protocol. How many, can we extend this easily to other formats? Is that your question? And the parsing, is it modular? And the answer is yes. The thing is, we're using PyParsing currently. So there's a grammar library. It basically abstracts out all the kinds of grammars that you can operate on. And right now we're using PyParsing to specify the grammar and the parser in one compact syntax. But that's just a implementation of the grammar library interface. So you can write, the goal would be to write another kind of grammar library, right? Another implementation of that. And so yeah, if you're familiar with PyParsing, you can extend it. If you want to go somewhere else, there's a little more work there that I have to do as well. So
okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Norman Wilson, affiliated with myself.
Okay. Yeah, so I get this question before. Currently,
I can think of all sorts of possible directions.
Yeah, so it depends, right? Right now, you can write really simple grammars where you're just matching, grabbing lines, and then you see like indentation, and you can wrap a block, so you don't have to parse the language in the strictest sense. The other thing is you could have error reporting in your parser, which I don't right now currently. I was talking to my thesis committee, and they're like, don't worry about that right now. But I do need to worry about that. That's absolutely true. And I think it would be interesting to actually be able to report where the errors occurred, because that could help you debug then, right? And there's a lot of insecurities that happen. There's a whole, if you Google up LangSec, there's security vulnerabilities that occur as a result of kind of ad hoc parsing. And so this could be kind of a carrot to address that stick. Yeah.
Other questions? Go ahead.
Peter Tripp. You mentioned iOS, and I was wondering what parameters you've actually written so far.
Yeah.
You know, obviously a little bit of text and a little bit of other things, but.
Yeah. So right now, the grammars that I've written for correspond to the three domains that I look at in my thesis, right? How convenient. So I have a subset C parser, which I haven't written, but Paul McGuire did, I believe. Well, no, not Paul McGuire, but I cite it in the paper. Someone else wrote, but I could successfully import into the library interface, so I can do basic C. I was in an obfuscated C code test. I can do two dialects of XML, National Vulnerability Database, and TEI, which I use for policies. That's not as exciting. Cisco IOS. I have this thing called built-in, which does things like lines, which isn't, you know. And then I need more, honestly, yeah. So if you're interested, definitely. I had to stay focused. So I do want to go general, but I had to stay focused on the projects I was working on.
So my name is Jim Barber, I'm also with Qualcomm. I'm actually curious about the parsing parsing recovery as well. How do you recover from I mean, suppose I fed you a file, a C file with syntax errors in it.
Yes.
How well would you recover and you know, continue to do counting? How well would you recover from, you know, finding a syntax error?
Right, so I didn't write this, so currently, honestly, probably horribly. But you could, no, seriously, but this brings up a point I want to make, which is you don't have to write a grammar for the whole specification of the language. You only need to have enough of the grammar written so you can extract the structure that you want. And so if there is a construct that's producing a lot of errors, then you could perhaps write a simple, stupid, like just grab lines or something. I do need to address that.
Your ability to recover is based on how generic the grammar is.
That's correct, currently, yeah. I admit that's not the most delightful solution, but I had to pick and choose. It's a start, exactly.
Yes, go ahead. Sorry, you mentioned that the code quality is heading towards production-ish.
Yeah.
Have you got it? Is anyone actually using this in production and giving you feedback?
Yeah, so like right now, a few people who do, believe it or not, hence the Cisco IOS, so power control networks, right? Network misconfigurations lead to outages, especially severe in the context of power when you know you need electricity, we all need it. So people who are doing power grid audits, we're starting to throw it over the fence to them and say, you know, is this useful or not? A kind of footnote there is also a visual interface for these tools as well, because now all auditors want to be able to do the command line. So that's how it's being used. And yeah, so once defending the thesis and then doing a postdoc, and in this postdoc, a big component of that is working on the Zoo tools, moving those into production. So.
Yeah, Rick Farrow.
Yeah.
I was wondering why you don't use XPath to extract some of the XML stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe you could, you know, give fields instead of lines.
Yeah, I think that's actually a good idea. So it's kind of the lit review for the Zoo path stuff is definitely XPath is one. We grabbed that because we didn't want to reinvent the wheel. So you could probably switch between XPath because actually the Zoo path parser is an XPath grammar, which was the other grammar I forgot to mention. And so, yeah, that's definitely can work fine.
Okay.
Yep.
One more.
So that's I'm smiling because I'm excited about that. So once I get a good, I want to get production quality first, but then you could imagine being able to have these clauses where you're testing properties, right, and building up, right? So I want to grab, you know, say these interfaces have, you know, fewer than X number of lines in them and report the ones that don't because those maybe need refactoring or are potential to be misconfigured or there's junk in there. Yeah. Definitely. And then you can build kind of circuits, right, where you say, this, I want this to be true and this to be true.
For this type of interface, you need this and this.
Yeah.
And this, not these.
That's right. Pardon? Yeah, I'd like to talk, for sure.
All right, thank you, Gabe.
Great, thanks.